Good afternoon. We are going to be going through Amos 6, 1 to 7. Those of you who are enjoying your lunch may conveniently ignore me. I was a pastor for 14 years. I know how to be ignored when I talk about the Bible. However, there are some here who are actually with their Hebrew Bibles open. Okay, with your Hebrew Bibles open. Hi, how are you? This is lectionary at lunch. You didn't know, but now you are at lectionary at lunch. And we are looking at Amos 6, 1 to 7. And if you don't want to listen to read lessons, then we have the Wartburg Commons. Yeah, but this is lectionary at lunch. So I'm sorry, I was doing what my boss told me to do. We are looking at Amos 6, 1 to 7. That is about page 1023 in the Hebrew Bible. And here we go. So, verse 1. Hoy! Whoa! Woe to you who show up at lunch without your Hebrew Bibles. No. That's not what Amos says. There are two hoys in the book of Amos. All right, and they are helpful contextual markers for us, because the first one appears in 5:18, and the themes in 5:18 through 27 are repeated and built upon in 6:1-7. The first hoy, woe to those who long for the day of Yahweh. That's a little bit more popular and well known. Hoy, though, if we take our clue from 1 Kings 13, verse 30, means that someone is dead. So this is a lament for someone's death. Amos is lamenting the fact that Israel is very much physically alive, but spiritually dead. Reminds me of the church in Sardis in Revelation 3, right? You have the reputation of being alive, but you are necros, dead there. So, woe. Certainly, this is going to be a major theme in Matthew chapter 23, where the Greek there is ouai. And in light of our chapel homily this morning, the only time St. Paul uses ouai in the New Testament in his 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. So it's a small little word. This is what Isaiah says, right? In chapter 6, verse 5. Woe is me, I am ruined. So, small word, major theology. The people, the nation, would be dead. And here we have our first participle. I was speaking on Amos on Monday, and I referred to these people as the participial people, because throughout the book of Amos, the participial people are the people who are oppressing the small people, Jacob, who is so small. So here we have a participle from the root shin, aleph, nun, but we have to somehow account for the two nuns. So this is not a kal, or kefil, or piel, or pual. This is a p-allow. Okay? P-allow. Maybe you've never heard of that before. P-E-A-L-A-L. And it would be a reduplication of the final nun, right? This actually appears 14 times in the Hebrew Bible, this particular stem, with this particular root. Usually translated those who are at ease or comfortable or kind of a laissez-faire attitude. Bet-Zion in Zion. So Amos's main target is the north, but he also has something to say to the south. He has a Judahite oracle in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He's going to talk about David here in verse 5 of chapter 6. And certainly the restoration is going to be through Judah and Judah's most famous king, David. So, Amos does have something to say to these people in Zion. And then we have another participle from Batak, call active participle, masculine plural. Here it's not so much trust, like trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3, verse 5, It's not that kind of trust. It's a misplaced trust. Who are kind of, again, carefree, laissez-faire, not placing their trust in Yahweh. Behar Shomeron in Mount Samaria. So apparently, people from north and south have gathered here. Now we're trying to understand the Sitzin Laban for the deaths. Okay, the death of a notable person, because it's actually the second last word in our pericope, Mizrach, that tells us what we are looking at. And we're probably looking at a Marzeach feast, which is only accounted for in the Hebrew Bible, again in Jeremiah 16, verse 5. And this was normally a place where people would go for the mourning of someone's death and kind of celebration of their life, so to speak. So it's unclear, and I'm not sure how far we can go with that, but it is a Mizrach. It's a Marzeach feast. There's a ton of extra biblical literature on this. And normally there would be days upon days of feasting and drunkenness and every kind of form of debauchery, kind of a Corinthian kind of experience. See, we're in the ancient city of Corinth. I believe we have a Corinthian expert right here. But didn't they have vomitoriums? Isn't that a nice spot at lecture at lunch? If it's not true, it ought to be. I read that somewhere. Okay, I need to go on here. Okay. So then we have another participle called passive participle from Nun Kof Bay. Nekavei Reishit Hagoyim. And this means to pierce, but here it's more of someone who's designated. The ones being designated Reishit Hagoyim. Now, Reishit, this particular word, Amos is rhetorically going to use this very powerfully. The good rhetoric means you repeat. And so he's going to use Reishit here. Drop down to verse 6, second colon of the tricola verse. There Reishit Shemarim. And then in the last verse, he's going to use Rosh. So he's going to be a good preacher here and have something that's going to be memorable. So the foremost men of the most notable nation, as has already translated, the leaders of Zion and Shomeron. And here, this last colon of the really quad cola line here is very difficult to understand. We're just for the sake of moving along. The Beit Israel is probably the subject of the verb. The Beit Israel, the house of Israel, they will come to them. And the Lachem there would probably be these people who are at ease in Zion and falsely carefree in Samaria. We go on. Now Amos says, give room, call them. So cross over to Calneh. Now what's he doing here? Most commentators say that Mesopotamian empires, when they would attack Canaan, they would have a certain route. So this would be the route of Shalmaneser III in the 9th century. So Calneh would be on the Orontes River, way north of Assyria. Amos is saying, go to Calneh. And see, fifth imperative, call imperative. Ulaku, Misham, Kamat, Rabbah. And from there, says, what? This is a he interrogative with the comparative men. Are you better than the mom Lakote Ha'ela? Are you better than these kingdoms? The obvious, you know, answer, no. But the people thought, no, we're number one. And Amos will say, well, yeah, you'll be number one. You'll be number one to go to exile. That's verse 7. And then he says, or greater, Rav, Gevulam, their border, Zan, another comparative men, your border. The answer is no. They're all kind of city-states here. Kalna, and Hamath Rabba, and Gath of the Philistines. So he's trying to humble them. Like Paul says in Romans chapter 12, you know, think soberly about who you are. It's kind of Daedalus and Icarus. Remember that Greek mythology where, what was it? Daedalus flew too high and he came crashing down. Well, it's kind of the idea that Amos is trying to convey. Next verse. This next verse, it's very difficult. This participle, again, participial people, the oppressors in the book of Amos, they are probably thrusting away from themselves. Layom Ra, the day of evil. Now that's the day of Yahweh in 518. Okay, that's also, if you want to look at chapter 8, verse 10, right at the end, there's three lines, at least in the BHS. Kayom Mark, it's the bitter day, it's the evil day, it's the day of Yahweh, and it's Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day Yahweh has made. We will not rejoice and we will not be glad in it. Okay? And they're thrusting that away. They're saying there's no eschatology. Alright? They're saying what? Look at chapter 9, verse 10. In Amos. Ha homerim lod tagish. And they are saying, it will not come near. It will not approach against us hara'ah, the evil. So they're denying that any eschatological judgment. They're pushing it away. And then this next part in verse 3, we simply have to go with the versions, because it's a hifil, the imperfect vav consecutive, which just doesn't make a lot of sense. So anyway, you are bringing near, not that you brought near, the Shevet Hamas, no one knows what that means, the seed of violence. We go on. Now, so that's kind of the first part of the text. The next part, Amos is going to use seven verbal forms, with the eighth verbal form being the emphasis. And Amos does this, see, in chapters 1 and 2 with the seven oracles. And then the eighth oracle is against Yisrael. So we want to pay close attention to this. The ones who are laying all mitot shame. So they're laying, these participial people, the big people, upon a bed of tooth. Okay, now what is that? This is a big tooth. This is like the elephant tooth. This is beds of ivory. In 3:15, he talks about houses of ivory. Not that the houses were made of ivory, but it would be indicative that they had ivory furniture throughout the houses. So Solomon only had a throne of ivory. These people have beds of ivory. All right? Well, it goes on. Paul passed apart from second, remember we're counting, the ones sprawling out upon their couches. The ones who are eating the lambs mitzon from the flock and the calves mitot marbeik and the calves from the midst of the stall. So these are the fat calves. They've been in the stall. Okay, so we have three verbs going here. Then we go to a hapax, verse 5. Verse 5, no one knows what pay race tech means. It probably means something like strum an instrument. So that's probably what they're doing. The ones who are strumming upon the mouth of the navel, the lyre, Kef David, Koshvu Lahem, Kalei Shir. And like David, they consider themselves would expect the Hebrew word kos. Kos means cup. A mizrach is only used, it's used 23 times in the Hebrew Bible. Every other time, 22 times, it's used in a cultic worship setting. See? So it's as though they're using the communion vessels of the party that they've grown. That's the idea. And a nevo in verse 5, it's almost always used in a religious context. Alright? And the shock, this is another verb in verse 6, that's always used in a religious context. You'd expect soup there. But it's the shock. So somehow, and this should surprise us in the ancient Near East, nothing is all religious. See? They're together mourning the death and celebrating the guy's life who has recently died. So this is kind of the blasphemy of what's going on here. They're drinking wine by the bowlful. It's like a keg is what they're doing here. And here's the second use, vereshit, shemanim, yishmaku, and with the choicest of oils, the first of the oils, they're anointing themselves. So this is not Mary Kay, alright? This is not Target or Walmart. This is Plaza Frontenac and Estee Lauder. Okay, well, I go on. These are the wicked sinners in Chesterfield, Missouri that need repentance and maybe faith. So if we counted up the verbs, we've had 7 verbs. Amos likes the 8th to be the emphasis. And look, I've mentioned this on Monday already. We've had 4 colon lines and 2 colon lines, but this is a tricola for emphasis. So it's doubly emphatic. It's emphatic in that it's a tricola and the last one, and this is the 8th verb in the section. It's a niphal from kala, ket lamed hey. Velo kelku al shever yosef. And this is the emphasis then of the pericope. You're not sick, okay? You're not infected. You are not grieved over Shever Yosef. So what's the brokenness, the shattering of Joseph? Joseph is all the small people in the book. The righteous, the poor, the needy, and the afflicted. There's actually 4 words that describe these people. The Ketron people of chapter 7, verses 2 and 5. So Joseph stands for the atrocity that's going on. If you look in the book of Genesis, Genesis 37 and then 42, we see how the brothers treated Joseph. And the heinous crime going on in Israel is they're dismissing their brothers. See, the oracles against the nations, it's what the Edomites did to the people in Tyre and Sidon, see? It's what the Gileadites did to the people in Damascus. But here it's the brotherhood that is being absolved, that is being destroyed. Alright, so Joseph. And as I said on Monday, this is your preaching book. John 1:11, he came to his own received him not. See, just like Joseph, just like the small people in Amos, just like Jesus. Joseph was vindicated, these people are vindicated, Jesus is vindicated. See? Okay, well, verse 7. Lakay, that normally is the final thrust of a prophetic oracle. Lakay ata yiglu, the rosh golim. Therefore now, ata, therefore now they will be exiled, galah. That's just how 5:18 through 27 ends. See, look at verse 27, galah there in the hifil. Therefore now they will be exiled, barosh golim. So you have the best oils, you are the foremost among the nations, and guess what? You're the first ones to be exiled. That's the irony. And he will turn basar, mizrach, serukim. And he will turn, that's Yahweh, the feasting, see, the Marzeach feast of the